Hello, and thank you for joining us on Weekend Warriors Hockey, the official podcast of the Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy. I'm Austin Holthouse, and co-hosting with me are Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy founder, Rick Parisi, and Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy head coach, Rob Boyle. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you may get your podcasts. You can also listen to us on our website, weekendwarriorshockey.buzzsprout.com. All right, Rick and Rob, welcome back. We're here for episode 5. And the talk of the town these days is the coronavirus and finding toilet paper. So I hope everyone out there who's listening is doing well and staying safe and healthy and has enough toilet paper for this upper respiratory infection that's going around. Today, we thought we would shift to talking about some defensive strategies as we moved away from the kind of the camp specific talk. So we're going to start from the back end and move our way out, a talk on defensive strategy. This episode is not about defensemen, though. This is about team defense. All six players on the ice, which includes the goalie, should be playing defense. So this isn't just about defensemen. So this podcast will be about playing defense and thinking about it as you go. All right. So we're going to talk today specifically about three tactics to better your defense. We're going to talk a little bit about blade mirroring and the cover your point fallacy. And as a left wing, right wing, usually a left wing, I get told all the time, cover your point. And Rob's going to tell us maybe why that's a fallacy. So with that, Rob, I'm going to turn it over to you. And Rick is going to chime in as well where he would like. And we're going to talk quickly about what does it mean to defend the guts of the ice?
What we try to do in anything defensively, we try to deflect things to the outside, deflect the puck carried to the outside. So force them up one side or the other. So that way it limits their space. We talk about playing defense, about limiting time and space, whether you're in the offensive zone, neutral zone, or defensive zone. We want to limit time and space. When we talk about defending the guts of the ice, we're talking about the center lane of the ice. So if you look at an ice surface, you look at the dots, how they line up in most rinks anyway, how they line up down the ice. So you get the right lane, the center lane, and then the left lane. So we try to defend that center area, force the puck to one side, and it becomes much easier to cover. The only way they have to go is straight or across ice. And if you have more players in the middle of the ice than the other team does, then you're going to have a lot more success at retrieving pucks, creating turnovers, eliminating options for the puck carrier. And that's essentially what we're trying to do. So we can force them to one side and, you know, say we'll talk about the offensive zone. We're on the forecheck, so we're trying to force the puck to one side. It's easier. So much more manageable space to defend and create turnovers. In the neutral zone, we force the puck to one side. They can't come cross ice because we have more players there. You got to go straight up ice. In the defensive zone, force shots, force anything from the outside. You've done your job well. So again, so talking about the guts of the ice, it's that center lane. Between the dots, all the way up down the ice.
All right, excellent. So that kind of gives us the idea when we're thinking about how to approach team defensive strategy, push things to the outside. So let's transition maybe a little bit to a single player. So one of the things that we want to talk about is having one hand on your stick.
You know, there's times you definitely want to have two hands on your stick, but where having one hand on your stick can be effective. You know, we're defending. You want to, again, deflect. You can have your stick out to the side. You can, you know, tell, you know, kind of deflect a player to a certain area of the ice by having your stick in a certain position. Anytime I want to go battle for a puck or I'm going to get a puck battle along the boards with another player, you know, there's times I'm going to want to have two hands on my stick. You're stronger with two hands on your stick. You know, if I have to lift somebody's stick, can't do that with one hand. I got to have two hands. I'm battling with somebody in the boards. Now, not so much, maybe not so much for adult league hockey, but, you know, certainly for kids who can play contact, you want to go in there. You want to be tough. You want to be able to push. Easy to do with two hands on your stick. The advantage of having one hand on your stick, you can flush the puck out. We talk about not going fishing for the puck. So you want to stay behind a defender, kind of get your stick in there, trying to get them to expose their stick. And we do that by flushing. And you have to be careful with this. You know, they call it a wrap around, one hand on the player's back, reach around with your stick hand, your top hand, and try to poke the puck or flush the puck out, which can be effective as well. But I think it's, I don't want to say it's more effective one way or the other. USA Hockey did a great article on one hand versus two hands on the stick a couple of years ago, which I thought was really well done. And I don't remember who the author was, but I think there's definitely times to have one hand on your stick. Again, you know, we're going to get into stick on puck, but having stick on puck or stick mirroring, again, deflecting one player, you're much longer with one hand on your stick. You want to lead with one hand on your stick. So, you know, it kind of forces the puck carry into a certain area. But if I'm going to go battle for that puck, or if I'm going to battle in front of the net, I want to make sure that I'm getting underneath sticks, and I want to have two hands on my stick at that point in time. So there's definitely advantages to both ways.
Yeah, excellent. I think that brings up some topics that we can deep dive into maybe a little later on. But the point being taken away is one hand on your stick can be advantageous depending on what you're trying to do at that moment in time. And be able to, as an adult hockey player, maybe somebody who hasn't grown up playing hockey, transition from two hands to one hand and start learning how and when to do that, and when it's advantageous and maybe when it's not.
You know, you're less likely to take a penalty with one hand on your stick. Also, you know, we're more likely to keep our stick on the ice as opposed to two hands on our stick, where we kind of get a little lazy and we're holding it up in the air and it's at our waist. So if we're playing defense and it doesn't matter which zone we're in, we want to make sure we have our stick on the ice at all times, especially in a defensive zone. If you're forechecking and you want to steer, you want to have your stick on the ice, make sure they can't cut back on you or move the puck in a certain direction. It's where you kind of get into stick on puck a little bit. But in that way, I can see where there's advantages from one to the other. But you're right. I think as adult league players, you have to know when the right time is to do each of those things. Like I said, anytime you're battling for a puck, you're battling with a player, and it's what we call a puck battle. In all likelihood, you're going to have two hands on your stick.
Okay. So you talked a little bit about steering players. So let's talk maybe about that for a minute. And steering players specifically, is there a side, a backhand, forehand that you recommend steering players to as they enter the offensive zone, or as they're making their way around the offensive zone?
Well, ideally, in an ideal situation, you like to force someone to their backhand side. And again, it doesn't matter if you're on a forecheck, or you're in your defensive zone or through the neutral zone, doesn't matter. You'd like to ideally get them on their backhand side. So my question to either of you would be, how good is your backhand passing? You know, it's probably...
It's adequate when necessary.
Less than awesome.
Yeah, my backhand shooting is terrible, but I have some okay backhand passes. I play left wing, so I end up having to put a lot of backhand. I'm righty. I usually play on my off wing, so I do have to pass backhand, and sometimes it's pretty good.
That's awesome.
Again, if I were somebody, I would definitely steer me to my backhand.
Yeah, so I mean, that's one reason. It's usually a weakness, and even at the higher levels, you'll see players that have a little bit of a weakness on their backhand side. The other reason would be field of vision, right? If you're forcing someone to their forehand side, you know, they can see everything in front of them. If you force them to their backhand side, the good chances they're going to have to look over their shoulder, and their field of vision is definitely going to be less. So it's going to force their offensive players to move a lot more. It becomes a lot easier to read from a second defensive person's, whether you're D2 or F1 deep in the zone. It becomes a lot easier to read. You can kind of tell where they want to go. So if you can, ideally you'd like to force them to their backhand side. I know that's not always the case. It's not always the opportunity to do that. But you know, if I'm able to do that, you know, it advantage me. So where possible, try to force to their backhand side. And even a player coming down the ice, you know, they want to cut to the middle. Just make sure you try to keep them to the outside, especially if they're on their off wing like you like to play. They're going to be on their backhand side, and they might be able to cut back up the ice. Yes. Okay. So that means you've stopped the attack. That's where you have to hope that one of your other players is getting into position to help defend the guts of the ice. So,
yeah. And one of the things I've noticed with adult hockey players is they tend to try and, I call it, walk around or skate around their backhand. Instead of putting a shot on net with their backhand and getting the puck on net, maybe trying for a rebound, they'll make a full, you know, 180 degree move with that puck still on their stick, meaning everybody has the opportunity to lift the stick, poke the puck away as they try and get around that backhand because they're not comfortable with it, and get it on net. So I think this is kind of you kind of learn two lessons here. One, as a defender, whether you're a winger or a defenseman, if you've got somebody that you're trying to play defense on, try and get them to their backhand. Likelihood in an adult hockey league or adult hockey situation, they're not going to be comfortable on that backhand. Make them uncomfortable. And if you're a forward, work on your backhand. Work on not being afraid to throw the puck on net or to drive around somebody on the backhand. You just got to work on those skills.
Yeah, I think a lot of problem with and we do a lot of, you know, we obviously go over backhand passing. In the early years, we did actually do backhand shooting too. It's something we moved away from, and maybe we need to get back to a little bit, admittedly. But we do a lot of that in camp, and we try to encourage people, if you're on your backhand, we try to receive it on your backhand, try to pass it on your backhand. You know, it's only going to make you a better player. And so we do cover that at camp quite a bit. You know, we do some two-on-ones, some one-on-ones where we're able to you stick on puck, deflect players to the outside, force players to the outside. So we try to apply these concepts into our camp drills. We don't get into a lot, obviously a lot of team stuff defensively because your team's not there. And so we try to break this down a little bit. What can you do better as a defender? Your one-on-one skills. You're not always going to have like, I always make a joke about this. We know everybody back checks in adult league hockey, but when I'm being very sarcastic there, you know, a lot of times you could do your best job as your defender. So if you do everything right, deflect to the backhand side, keep them to the outside, and you've done everything that you're supposed to do, but the player coming up behind you, your next defensive player, is not hauling their butts back to get into position. So you could do everything right and still get scored against because somebody else hasn't done their job. And that's where I know frustration can build in a little bit for some players. Well, my other guys, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, but my other guys aren't doing what they need to be doing. And so I know that can be a little frustrating, but it doesn't make sense for us to go over that as a group. We'll talk about it in a chalk talk and kind of give you the background on what we're looking to do, but it doesn't make sense to kind of put that into a drill.
These few things should be able to help you go, I never thought about the middle of the ice being the most dangerous part. Yeah, it is the most dangerous part. Or, hey, maybe I should have my hand on one hand on the stick at this point, and then I need to switch to two hands when I'm doing that. And, oh yeah, everybody's backhand does suck, so maybe I should push people to their backhand. That's the idea with this discussion. And certainly at the camps, you guys are going to go into quite a bit more detail and allow people to try these things out, which is a great opportunity to learn. That was a very good discussion on three tactics that folks can use, what the guts of the ice are, why you need to defend them, maybe some options on one hand versus two hands on your stick, and then steering players to their backhand. So let's now transition a little bit to, we want to talk a little bit about blade mirroring. What does that mean and why is it effective?
Again, it's part of deflecting and angling. You know, if I'm defending a player, I want to mirror the pike, blade mirroring, stick on puck, stick on stick, blade on blade, whatever you want to call it, is really kind of a deterrent. So anytime that I would like to, as a defender, I want to have the blade of my stick mirror the blade of the offensive player or the puck. That way, once they move it to one side, it always becomes a deterrent. So one thing you have to have is make sure you have a good gap on the player. Make sure your feet are moving. Make sure you're skating and not standing still. Make sure your stick's on the ice out in front of you. If they move the puck to one side or the other, you're going to move your stick with them and just mirror the blade of their stick from one side to the other. It acts as a deterrent. It's going to force the offensive player to make a different decision with the puck and maybe allow you to deflect the pass, deflect the shot, whatever that might be. So it's really just exactly what it means. Your blade is going to mirror the blade of the offensive player and just become a deterrent for them by having your stick in the passing lane or their puck lane. And again, forcing them to maybe make a decision that they don't want to make.
And would you say this is a good opportunity to kind of practice that two hands on stick or one hand on stick?
Yeah, I think you're going to want to have one hand on your stick because that provides length, you know, and sometimes you can hide it. You don't have to have your arm fully extended, but you can have it half extended. And, you know, when it comes time to poke check, they don't necessarily have that spatial awareness between you and them. It becomes an easy poke check. So you definitely want to have one hand on your stick and you would definitely want to have your stick on the ice.
It's a very effective strategy because it allows you to, it's an equalizer, right? If you're a weaker skater as a defender and you have somebody who's a better skater coming at you, just moving your stick, you're able to more or less stop them and frustrate them. I've seen, you know, the offensive player get very frustrated and then ultimately turn over the puck or make a bad pass because they couldn't do anything with it because the defender just kept, you know, blocking and deterring them from every place they tried to go.
Yep. Fair enough.
Yep. Seen it a lot of times. And it does get very frustrating if you're trying to make a play as an offensive player and the defender just will not give you anything and they're not putting any physical pressure on you. They're just taking away all your passing and shooting lanes with that stick.
Yep.
All right. I think that's an excellent discussion about what blade mirroring is and why it's a good tactic for folks to use. Now I wanted to talk a little bit, if we could talk a little about covering the point. So it gets yelled out all the time on the ice when you're playing, you know, cover your point, wingers specifically cover your point. Rob, can you talk a little bit about maybe why that's not always what wingers should be doing and what defensemen should be yelling at wingers about?
Well, defensemen have enough on their mind that they shouldn't be yelling at the wingers to begin with.
Sometimes it's my goalie.
That being said, why don't we cover the point? I mean, it's a very simple answer is that we want to protect the guts of the ice. So I want to have, you know, going back to the guts, you know, we in hockey, as coaches, we draw what we call the house. So if I take a line from the post, go out to the faceoff dots and all the way up to the blue line, it kind of looks like home plate a little bit, and we call it the house. So, you know, I want to have more players in the house than I do outside of the house. And sometimes if I'm up there covering the point, you know, I'm leaving space. I'm leaving an area for an offensive player to go through. I want to be in the house. I want to be able to cover those parts of the ice, you know, to again, deflect the puck. So if the first player going in who's defending, whether it's the defenseman or the centerman or the first forward back, gets beat, I'm there as the next layer of defense to go through. If I'm standing up at the point and covering my point, that area now becomes a free lane to the net. We call them seams in hockey. So that seam would become available and very easily a lane to the net. So now if I'm in position and I'm down in the right position, now the puck goes out to the point. Well, now I can go out in the shot lane, all right, and still deflect that puck to the outside. But I have to get in that lane. I got to get my stick on the ice so they can't go D to D again and try to force that puck down outside the boards, outside the dots, and maybe down back down low without forcing or allowing them to get a shot on net. One thing I like to say defensively, it's easier to expand than it is to collapse. If we're always collapsing, that means we're constantly chasing the game, right? If we're expanding and forcing to the outside, that means we're in the right position. And now I just got to go out and do my job. Covering your point leaves a lot of that middle ice in the offensive zone available again. So if somebody gets beat, going back to the team's concept of defense, we like to build layers to the net. And by putting our wingers or two forwards out to the point, you don't have those layers to defend. And so what will happen is if you get beat, you're going to have to collapse, which means, again, you're chasing the puck, you're chasing the player, and you're always going to be behind. So we don't want to be out there covering the points. It's a constant question we get at every single camp. Why not? Why not? And it's a very easy answer.
Yeah. And just to be clear, like usually when people are yelling at you to cover their point, what they mean is like your teammates basically telling you be right on that, you know, as a winger, you should be right on that defenseman who's at the point
standing and beside him.
We're not saying don't be aware of him and don't, but you're not supposed to be out by the blue line. You want to be in more towards the interior in the guts, like Rob said, you know, and then in the shot lane. And if he gets a pass, you can expand out to him and then he can't do anything with it. If he shoots it, he's probably going off your shin guards and you got a breakaway. So
a point of reference we like to use, especially if you're that winger. So if you're the strong side winger, and strong side meaning the winger that the puck is on, the side that the puck is on. So if you're that strong side winger, is a reference we like to use is your toe caps. Your toe cap should be pointed towards the boards. All right. Shoulder to the puck and shoulder to the defenseman, because it is your responsibility. I don't want to get away from that too much, because that is your responsibility. But if I have my toe caps towards the boards and a shoulder to the puck, shoulder to the defenseman, I can see everything that's going on. So I want to be to this interior of the ice. I want to be to the middle of the ice, towards the dots. So I'll give him that outside. I'm going to give him that outside lane, that outside shot, because again, that's a low percentage area to score from. And like some of our coaches said, if they score from that area, then we got bigger problems and we might have to maybe replace some other players, but it's another topic for another time.
Yeah. Excellent. Rick, anything you want to throw in there on that?
No, I think that covers it pretty good.
Okay. So kind of to sum up, it's much like the guts of the ice, but we're talking in the defensive zone, and you have the house, that area from the posts out to the faceoff dots, and then the faceoff dots up to roughly either the top of circles or the blue lines. And you want
the blue lines, because you don't want the defenseman shooting from those areas either.
Yeah. So then you're going to also defend from the inside out, meaning if they're outside of those of you from there, their angles aren't very good. You've got a lot of people to get through. So you want to defend from the inside out. And that the idea of a winger standing on top of a defenseman really doesn't do you any good, especially if that defenseman can skate, because they're going to move. They're going to move and they're going to find a spot where you aren't, and you're not going to be able to react to it.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Rick, one of the things I wanted to cover on this was a coronavirus update. Can you give everyone out there, especially those that are coming to, already scheduled for, or looking to come to a camp, anything that you know at this point from your perspective?
Yeah, so pretty much on a daily basis, I've either been emailing or checking websites of the rinks that we're engaged with for the first four or five camps of the year, at least April and May camps. And some of those rinks are actually closed right now. but none of them are projecting at this point to be closed during the period of our camp. So none of our camps have been canceled. We're monitoring it. We have a dedicated page on our website that's a coronavirus update. And like right from the homepage at the top, there's a little message about coronavirus with a link to that page. So at any point, if anybody wants to go check it and see what the status is, and then, of course, for any particular camp, for the people that are registered, as soon as anything is found out, they'll get an email sent to them if we have to cancel anything or if anything needs to be changed. But right now, we're just sitting tight, being patient. You know, there's a lot of stuff playing out right now, and we're just going to wait and, you know, wait for direction from the rinks that we're hosting our camps.
All right. Reminder for everyone out there listening, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, April 16th through 19th. That's the very first camp. So we're about a month out from that. Shelton, Connecticut is April 23rd through 26th. And Atlanta, Georgia is April 30th to May 3rd. Crossing fingers for everyone, that everyone out there stays healthy until those points, and that we've gotten past the big event of this spring, which is coronavirus, and the camps continue on, because everybody's going to go to those camps, going to have a blast. All right. I'd wanted to end this with a quick shout out to the folks who are listening to this podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We've had almost 500 plays on our first, I'll call it five episodes, six really, if you count the episode zero. And of note, Rick, keep that travel budget increasing, because now we're being listened to in Hong Kong and Spain. I will add that to Netherlands, Sweden, United Kingdom, and Germany, which is second to Canada as our international listens.
Well, we've got some really, really cheap flights to Wuhan province, so we'll send you there first.
Okay, I was Hong Kong, Rick, not Wuhan, Hong Kong. And then
we're going international. We're going international next year.
I'll throw another challenge out to Rick and Rob. The most downloads we've had so far from Anchorage, Alaska, which I will say I haven't seen any camp events up in Alaska. So
actually, we've done two camps in Juneau, actually.
It's been a few years.
For the Alaska listeners, there is hope. If there's enough of you out there that want to have a camp, contact Rick and Rob, and maybe they can come your way. So with that, gentlemen, we're going to conclude today. Everyone, please stay healthy and safe out there. And we'll be back next week with another episode. And again, if you have anything you want us to talk about, please send it in. I think we're going to try and keep this going with talking about some specific tactics folks can use, and maybe we'll talk some stuff about forwards for the next episode. So thanks everyone for listening. We hope you enjoyed our episode and are motivated to learn more about how you can improve as an adult hockey player. If you have show ideas, disagree with anything we said, or just want to say hi, please contact us. Simply email us at info@weekendwarriorshockey.com or leave a message on Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy Facebook page, Twitter, or Instagram sites if that's easier. We love to read responses and listener questions on the air. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you may get your podcasts. Share us with a friend or two or three and leave a 5-star Apple Podcast review if you enjoyed the show and want to learn more. Until next time, keep working hard and improving each time you're out on the ice.